The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
You're visiting with us. I want to welcome you. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you can't tell, today's a little different. A lot of us are wearing the same shirt. About 80 of us were down at Myrtle Beach at a student camp this week. And we're excited to share with you the work that happened in our lives, through our lives, and around us. It was an amazing week. And as I share with you, my hope is that your heart is open to understand why we care so much for those that God has entrusted us with, our children, their friends, our teens, our babies. We are a young church, but we believe from the beginning that God has called us to pour into the lives of the youth. And weren't you guys blessed by our student band this morning?
Amen.
God is working in their lives, and through them, he's been ministering to many of us as adults. And so we're excited for this morning, and you're getting to hear more of that.
All right, so as y'all can see by the video, camp was a lot of fun. You know, hearts were open. You know, people rededicated their lives to Christ. People accepted Christ for the first time. So you just saw in the video like a little glimpse of what happened. And so Pastor Gary, as I like to call him, Pastor Gare Bear, he hit me up. He was like, hey, Josh, I'm going to need you to preach tomorrow. So I was like, okay. So I was like, all right, I'll just give a little summary of what, you know, camp was like for us. So I picked basically three things that kind of stuck out to me, maybe that weren't like a highlight for everybody, but were specifically a highlight for me. So first thing is, can you turn to Ephesians 6:12? Or use your phone. Y'all got it? You can say yes or no. I like to interact with the audience. So, like, if I ask you a question, can you guys, like, say yes, amen, okay, yeah, I heard you. You know what I mean? All right, thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So, Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All right, so let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for letting me be used as a vessel for you, God. I pray that the people can only see you through me, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, after reading that verse, as we know, the battle is not, like, spiritual for our lives. Like, it's not like the battle of heaven and hell isn't flesh and blood or just spiritual. But also, you know, we need to guard ourselves. And so, since the battle is spiritual, we need a weapon, and that weapon is the scripture. So basically the theme for this week of camp was the scripture and how important it is and how vital it is, and how we use it not only as a weapon, but how we use it kind of like the example they used was like a scalpel. So you use a scalpel in surgery to cut things open, you know what I mean? We use it as a weapon, but you also use it to heal and then to stitch up kind of thing. So that's kind of what it was used as. And so the question is, how do we fight, you know, the enemy, or how do you fight in the spiritual realm? And this is what they gave us kind of. So Matthew chapter 4 is the next part. So you can flip there if you want. And so a lot of you guys know this story. It's, you know, when Satan is tempting Jesus in the wilderness. So basically, I'm going to start at verse 3 because you guys kind of know verse 1 and 2. I'll start at verse 1. Never mind. So then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So what the enemy likes to do is he likes to tempt us, right? Right? He likes to tempt us. And so what the enemy was doing, Jesus was in the wilderness. He hadn't eaten anything. He hadn't drank anything. So, you know, this man is hungry. He's tired. Like, I'm pretty sure he's annoyed. And now you got the enemy coming up to him. And so Jesus answered him. He says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is very important because Jesus doesn't fight the enemy physically or necessarily, you know, pray or do something like that. He fights him with the word of God. He fights him with scripture. And that's what we need to do. when temptation, you know, comes, I was talking to Pastor Gary about this. When temptation comes, we have to be ready and be guarded with the scripture, because a lot of times that's how we need to fight the enemy. The scripture is God's spoken word for us, to us. And sometimes prayer or a physical battle is not going to defeat him, but you got to use the right weapon. So to keep going, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he asked him, if you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands. Now let's stop for a minute. Do y'all see that? The enemy used the scripture, God's word on Jesus. So not only do we need to know the word because, you know, we need to fight battles, but our enemy, the adversary, also knows the word. And what does it say that Satan is? Who is Satan? He's the devil. He's the author of lies. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. If Satan knows more scripture than you, what is he twisting in your life? What is he twisting in your mind? What is he making you think? Oh, you know, I go to church on Sunday. I help out. I'm a greeter. You know, I got my little pass. I'm cool. Like, I serve in the church. That can easily be a trick by the enemy. So we have to guard ourselves and know scripture, because Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is so important. And I think that our kids understand that now, that we need to know scripture, because it is so important when we're facing these battles. And so, another part is, if you don't know the scripture to begin with, how can you step in the ring with Satan? You know what I mean? So a lot of us kind of got hit. We played this game called Ninja, but it was like scripture ninja. So like, hey, come up here, Trey. So the game is like this. So like, you step back, and like, what you're trying to do is you're trying to hit from like the elbow down the other person. So stick your hand out. So say I hit him. So now he has to put his arm back. So we played this game where if I hit his arm, he could like gain it back so that he can continue the game. But the only way he could gain it back was by reciting scripture. And what I found through that was, you know, not only like were some of the kids, did we not know scripture, but even like me, myself, I was like, dang, like if I was playing this game for a long time, I would start running out of scripture. Do I really read my Bible enough? Do I really meditate on the word how I should? Do I really deeply study how I should? And so, in conclusion, the battle can't be won with knowledge, prayer, and, you know, good deeds, but it's won through God's word. His word is truth. And the second point is this. A guy gave a story on what we feed ourselves is important. And as, you know, for teenagers, this is, like, really important. And so, basically, he said that his wife cooked the best lasagna. Y'all know this story. I love this story. He said his wife was, like, the best chef on this planet. Now, personally, I think that's my mama. But, you know, that's just me or my grandma. You know, if they tag team in the kitchen, it's over. But he said that his wife was the best cook, and her best meal was lasagna. And so what he said, he was like, you know what? I'm going to fast for the whole day so that when I come home, I can just eat at like 5-6 plates and just like, you know, just eat it all up because, you know, I love it so much. And so he said he woke up the next day and went to work. And, you know, he's chilling. He's vibing. And so 11 o'clock or lunchtime comes around. And his friends are like, hey, I'm going to just say my name. Hey, Josh, you trying to go get some lunch? And he was like, and he's thinking to himself, he's battling himself. He's like, well, I promised my wife I would go home and eat this lasagna and I'd fast for the day. But you know what? He said his like biggest temptation or biggest downfall when it came to food was burgers. And his friends were like, hey, we're going to get some burgers and some shakes. So he was like, oh, dang. All right. So he went with them. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go with you guys. You know, I'm going to chill with y'all. But I'm going to just get a cup of water, like, or get a sweet tea or something. So I'm not going to get a cheeseburger, but I'll go with you guys. So he goes with him and his friends, and then he's in line, and he's chilling. And then his friends are like, all right, Josh, you order first. So he's like, dang. So he steps up to the cash register and is like, dang, man, should I get a sweet tea? Should I get a water? And meanwhile, the lady at the cash register is just standing there looking at him like, bro, why are you talking to yourself right now? And he's just in his mind. He's just battling like, you know, I got this great meal ready for me at home, you know, I need to order a sweet tea or not eat anything at all, you know, just get something to drink, just get a little something to tide me over. So he's like, okay. So he comes to the decision and he blurts out, let me get a double cheeseburger, large fry, and a milkshake. And then he's like, wait, hold up, wait, my bad, let me cancel that order. And then the cash register, she's like, what? Oh, okay, I'll cancel it. And so he's still battling in his mind. He's still thinking. He's like, man, should I give in? Like, I really love cheeseburgers, but lasagna is the greatest meal I could ever eat. And so he orders the same thing again and gets an extra large milkshake. And so the point of the story is, so he comes home and he feels bad because he made a promise to his wife. He's like, look, I'm a fast. I'm going to come home. We're going to eat and we're going to have this great meal. So, you know, he goes back to work and he's doing his thing and the enemy's just eating at him. He's like, dang, man, you shouldn't have had that milkshake. Like, or not the enemy, but the spirit's eating at him. He's like, man, you shouldn't have had that milkshake. Your wife's going to find out. She's going to get you, man. She's going to get you. And so he finally gets home. He's terrified. Gets out the car. So he's walking. Unlocks the door. Opens the door. And his two daughters have like a pathway of like, what was it, like rose petals set up in a path on the way to the kitchen. Candles lit. All types of stuff. Like this is a big deal. They made this dinner like a big deal. And so he walks in. He sees this. He's like, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, I'm just, you know, just coming inside trying to, you know, go do whatever. And so they're like, no, Dad, we have a special dinner for you. We did this just for you. Like, this is really important to us. And so they took the time to do all these things. And his wife is still in the kitchen, like, you know, making the lasagna, making, you know, the salad and the side dish and all that. And so he's just like, oh, man. So, like, he can't even see past, like, the good deed that his family's doing for him because all he can think about is the sin that he committed by eating that double cheeseburger. So he's walking in, and then he finally sits down. And then, you know, to skip ahead a little bit, he can't eat the dinner that was placed in front of him. And his wife and his kids start to notice. They're like, why aren't you eating? Like, I thought you were fasting all day. I thought you'd been waiting all day for this. And, you know, he tries to get around it by telling jokes to his family, like at the dinner table and stuff like that. But by the end of the story, his wife finds out and asks him, did you eat something else today? Yeah, it's kind of funny if you were there. I'm probably not saying this right, but she was like, did you eat something else today? And tell me the truth. And he could not lie in this situation. And he said, yes, I ate something else today, honey. And she was like, okay. And she got really upset. Now, the moral of this story is if we feed ourselves junk, when it's time to pray, when the enemy attacks, when it's time to read our Bible, when it's time to help somebody out, if we are full of the world and full of garbage, how can we do the thing that God has called us to do or enter into the thing that God has for us, which is that great dinner? He has something great planned for each and every one of us. But if we continue to fill ourselves with garbage and then come to church on Sunday, everything that I just said to you is going to fly right over your head. Or you're going to think about it and be like, yeah, he's right. You know, think about it. You know, it's Sunday. Think about it for a couple of hours. Change for the day. Then you're going to go right back to the same habits. So that's the second thing that I learned. Third thing is I want you guys to do an exercise. I want you guys to all close your eyes. All right. Now I want you to put your hands out like you. Wait, hold up. Look at me first. So, like, put your hands in a cup like this. Now you can close your eyes. In your hands is the thing that you love the most in this world, or just love, period. Your wife, kids, basketball, shoes, clothes, your image, anything, social media, anything that you love or hold close and dear to your heart. I want you to have it in your hand. I want you to think about it. Now I want you to close your hands. I'm going to pretend I'm God for a second, even though I'm not at all. But I want you to open your hands and give that to God, if you can. And remember, this is something that you guys love with all your heart. Something you wouldn't trade the world for, something that you hold so close to you, things that people don't even know about you. All right, you can open your eyes now. What I took from that exercise is, will I allow, like, am I a true servant of God? Like, if I can't give all that I have or give up the most important thing in my life, can I truly be a servant for God? Because if it comes down to it, if God says, like God personally has called me into the mission field. But if I'm afraid or don't want to leave the States because I have something behind here and I'm not willing and I hold something here in the United States deeply to my heart so that I can't travel and do God's work, that hurts the kingdom of God, because all the people I'm going to affect overseas or affect throughout my life has been stopped because of the selfish things that are in my heart that I hold close to my heart. And, you know, it's nothing wrong with loving your wife or loving your kids, but you shouldn't love people or things above God. And so the verse I want to take you guys to is Luke 14:26. Or we can start with 25. So it says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So when I heard this verse and heard them say this at camp, I was sitting there for like the rest of the week, kind of like, dang, like, you know, I'm saved and all that, but do I truly live out Christ's model? Like, if it comes down to it, could I hate my mother? Could I hate my little sister who I love a lot? If it comes down to it, could I get rid of the thing, the shoes, the clothes, the athleticism? Could I give away all that if God asked me to? And so that was another really big thing that kind of stuck with me and a lot of the kids at camp. Especially my sister, me and my sister, while we were there. And so that's the last thing. So just in conclusion, the word is very important. And what we feed ourselves out of this word is very important for our lives. And if we don't, like, eat the good food, which is the word that we need every day, we're going to starve. We're going to starve ourselves or fill ourselves with the things of the world, our own pleasures and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh. That's awesome word. That's great. I know, I just want to go through this really fast. We had several people, but for the sake of time, we're not going to go through a lot of them. But Luke, you want to come up here, man? Where are you at, Luke? Right, there you are. I just want a couple of these students to share how God really impacted them this time. And I was going to sit here and do everybody, but then you guys were mad at me. Wow. I'm just going to do a few. Go ahead, Luke.
So, this week at summer camp, I made a commitment to God that I will read a chapter of a Bible a day. And also, on Wednesday, I didn't tell anyone, but I fully gave my life to Jesus.
God, praise God, man. That's awesome. Thank you. Awesome. We had, as Pastor John already said, we had 10, 11 come to know Christ. And we had a pre-show before camp. We had a Juan. Juan, can you just raise your hand, Juan? He's looking around like, who are you talking to? Juanito, right there. the Wednesday before camp, man, he was just tore up, and he was just like, wrestling with things, and he came to know Jesus that Wednesday night. And then a few days later, Megan, before camp, came to know Jesus. And then at camp, several of these students came to really understand, and several that thought they were Christian. Daniel G's not here this morning. He'll be here second hour, and he'll share, so I'll share for him. He was doing that thing. Parents were Christians, I'm missionaries, I'm this and that, but he said, it's time for me to own it. It's time for me to know what I believe, and I want to give my life to Jesus, not because mom and dad told me, but because I did. And several students in here had that encounter with the Lord, and several just said, you know what, I don't want this to end. I had a young lady that said she was sad that worship is over and she couldn't get here today, but it's just amazing to see what God did. You may think the money that you sent was quite a bit out of your pocket, but you know what? There's not a cent that can amount to a salvation. Someone's life being changed forever, and it's all worth it. I gave up everything I had, my boat and everything, to come do this because it's worth it. And there's not a soul or person in this chair that I wouldn't give my right arm for. And I'm blessed that I get to serve with you guys. That's awesome. With that, I just have one more person I want to end with, and then we'll do our communion. Where you at, dude? Come up here, my man. You want to share still? You don't have to, but you... Come on, Lance. All right, this guy, Lance, he's a friend of Holly's, and I thought he lived in China or somewhere far away. And it comes to find this dude lives right down the street. So I was like, sweet, I get to see this guy a lot. Go ahead, Lance. Is it not working? There we go.
Okay, so at the convention center, the enemy was, just messing with me, and he made me feel like I was alone, and so,
Can I interrupt you? Lance is new. He hasn't been to our church, doesn't know anybody, so that's where this is going.
Yeah, so anyways, so at the convention center, I felt alone, and the enemy was definitely messing with me. So, the red team, there was all this red team stuff going on, different teams. So we got a red bracelet, and I don't have it with me right now, but it said, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So, it was funny because when that thought hit me, they were playing this song, and it said, "For the Lord your God is always with you." And I felt really, touched that God was speaking to me right then, so.
That's awesome. Now, God is powerful, and He wants to do things like that in our lives. And too many times we run through the McDonald's drive-thru and think that's good enough. When He says, no, I want to speak to you right now and give you that double, triple cheeseburger and not just the dollar menu. I want to give you the big deal, and I want to do it every day in your life. And the fact that God said, you know what, you're alone, I'm going to give you a bracelet, and I'm going to sing a song, and I'm going to show you I love you. Right? Man, that doesn't make you want to jump and say, yeah, and then go out the door. Yeah, that's awesome. So I won't let any more go because we'd be here all night, and this was exciting. Every night we get to hear these great stories. Double mic you. Thank you, Lance. So if my team can come forward to worship and our communion team. And the reason we do communion is the reason I'm excited is because Jesus shed his blood for me, a disgusting person that didn't deserve it. And he said, I love you anyway. In spite of your filthiness, your sin, I covered it with my precious blood. The perfect Lamb of God said, I did it because I love you. And we can stand here and take this communion and say, this body that was broken for me and the blood that was shed for me, I can have a relationship with Christ on every day, every second, every moment after moment, relationship with Him. So as you come and take that time, if God's speaking to your heart, you want an opportunity to know Christ, you want an opportunity to be excited like I am or like these students and see that the Word of God has power, it's sharper than a double-edged sword and cut and pierce right into your heart. You want that. There's people in the back to pray with you. I'm up here. Pastor John's around. Let's just see what God's going to do in this place, and let's be open to what He's doing, and let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you came to us right where we were. You told the adulterous woman, you said, get up and go and sin no more. Father, I thank you that you come to us like that. You come to us, and you called Lazarus from the grave, and you said, Lazarus, come forth. Father, if we need to get up because you're talking to us, may we not sit here and act like we got this in our hands and we got it under control when we really don't. Father, if we need to let go and say, Lord, I can't do the next step. Sometimes I'm frustrated. Sometimes I don't even know if I'm going to make the next dime to pay my parents back or I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of this hole that I'm in. I'm just working myself to death. I don't know if it's just I'm doing the church game. And I've been doing it a long time. Father, whatever you're doing in our lives right now, I just pray the Spirit of God would just rain down in this place. And these people's hearts would be spoken to, they would hear the voice of God saying and telling them what their next step is. And as the people in the back, I pray that we would be here to pray and love on and support these people. But in this room, if someone does not know Jesus, I pray, as your word says, I have come to give life and give it more abundantly. They would have an abundant life. And they would know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father unless it is through Him. So right now, Lord Jesus, if people are wrestling with the idea of, I want to be a Christian, how do I come to do that? Understanding, number one, that you are dead no longer. Death has no sting on you. You have risen. And because you have risen, that same power that raised Christ from the dead, I can be risen and be with you forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you that we can sing here and sing these songs. In Jesus' name, amen.